W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Nashville police say today's mass shooting at a private Christian school was a targeted attack. Six people, including children, were gunned down by a former student, a 28-year-old transgender woman who mapped out the massacre. Chief John Drake.
We have a manifesto. We have some writings that we're going over that pertain to this day, the actual incident. We have a map drawn out of how this was all going to take place.
Nashville Mayor John Cooper says he's devastated.
Now I am overwhelmed at the thought of the loss of these families, of the future lost by these children and their families. And the leading cause of kids get death now is guns and gunfire.
And it's pushing more calls for gun reform.
I'm Stephen Portnoy at the White House, where President Biden calls the shooting in Nashville a family's worst nightmare.
It's sick.
The president noted that police said the shooter was armed with two assault-style rifles.
So I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban.
Republicans in Congress have been steadfastly against that since the 1994 ban expired nearly two decades ago.
Massive protests apparently paid off in Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is now pausing judicial reform plans. State Department spokesman Vedant Patel.
We welcome this announcement as an opportunity to create additional time and space for compromise. And compromise is precisely what we have been calling for.
In New York, a grand jury heard more testimony from National Enquirer editor David Pecker on hush money payments involving former President Trump. CBS's Graham Cates.
Here we are again. There are just a couple of protesters. But, you know, what we know is that today they're meeting again. We don't know for sure what they're going to be hearing while they're meeting again.
Their next session is Wednesday. It could be months before we know what caused a massive explosion at a chocolate factory in Pennsylvania that killed seven people. West Reading Police Chief Wayne Holben.
Now that all unaccounted for individuals have been recovered, the focus shifts on the daunting task of cleaning up the aftermath.
Cleanup's also underway in Mississippi now, where an EF4 tornado decimated entire neighborhoods. CBS's Lana Zack is in Rolling Fork.
The devastation here, when we're talking about recovery, has to be put into context. This entire town of about 2,000 people, for the most part, has been wiped out entirely. It's gone. But that said, there are bulldozers all over. There are people who I've spoken with who have come from all these different neighboring states who are all just pitching in.
26 people died in the storms in Mississippi and Alabama. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From local town councils to Capitol Hill, agents who are realtors are standing up for what's right. We're here protecting property rights. Here advocating for the issues that affect our neighborhoods. Here championing fair and equitable housing for all. Because we're realtors, bound by a code of ethics, driven to serve our communities. We're here for it all. Here for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 22. Northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 43. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows around 18. Tomorrow night, chance of snow. About an inch of snow tomorrow night with another inch Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Good evening, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night at 7 o'clock. On WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM right here in downtown Waukesha. It is a beautiful spring night, and we are a week away from the biggest election in maybe Wisconsin's last 50 years. I am honored to have with me as a guest tonight the candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Welcome, Judge.
Well, I am delighted to be here with you this evening, Mark. I just was spending some time. I'm in Eau Claire right now. I was spending some time with Dana and with Beverly and with Artie. And Artie's quite a character.
And for my listeners, those are my partners up in Eau Claire. So, welcome, Judge. So you've been traveling all over the state talking about why you want to run and why you want to be the next justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So why?
To get away from all the extremism and bring normal back to Wisconsin and back to our Supreme Court, to get away from the uber partisanship, to bring change, to bring common sense, to bring independence. I mean, it has been a long journey. We've been doing this for a year, and quite frankly, in my opinion, our democracy is utterly on the line, depending on what happens on April 4th.
You know, you've been traveling all over the state and talking to many, many, many people. What do you hear from the voters? What's their concern?
First of all, I would say that the voters are really excited. There are large crowds wherever we go. And, you know, I'm very cognizant of the fact that this is not a Milwaukee County, Dane County race. And that's a message that I really try to get out to people when I travel around the state, that they need a justice who is here for everybody. And that's why we are traveling absolutely everywhere. People have concerns about a number of specific issues. People are concerned about our very gerrymandered maps in the state of Wisconsin. People are concerned by our 1849 abortion ban. People are extraordinarily worried about what will happen in the event the 2024 presidential election results end up in our Supreme Court. And then an overarching theme that I hear is that people want a Supreme Court that's fair and independent. They don't want to feel like a thumb is on the scale. They want to feel as though everybody has a fair shot when they go into the courtroom, and that determinations are not preordained.
You know, one thing I've been hearing from folks, and I think this is maybe a good place to start to dig into some of these issues a little bit more. You know, your opponent never sat as a circuit court judge, never was a prosecutor, so never personally handled a criminal case at the county level. What do you think that your experience brings to that, that your opponent just is clueless about?
Well, he's really clueless about it. And, you know, I'm here in Eau Claire today, and people were showing me flyers about misleading messaging that he is providing to the voters in this area, indicating that he doesn't believe that I believe in community safety. I have sentenced on criminal cases, not hundreds of people, but thousands of people. He has sentenced nobody ever. You know, he hasn't had to make those tough decisions of, does somebody need to be removed from the community because the community needs to be safe and the serious nature of the offense? Or does this person get a second chance? Or does this person get a diversion? Or do they get placed in supervision? Or do they get a deferred prosecution agreement? Or do they go to a specialty court like a veterans court or a drug treatment court? You know, he's never had to make those calls. So I think it's really easy to, you know, cherry pick a number of cases, not tell the whole story, and twist your stories, you know, to kind of meet the message that you are trying to sell to the voters of the state.
And along those lines, how many years were you a prosecutor before you actually went on the bench as a judge?
More than a quarter of a century, and it's hard to believe because it feels like I started yesterday. But 26 years in the district attorney's office in Milwaukee County, prosecuting all kinds of cases, you know, everything from very routine matters like retail thefts and disorderly conducts, but all the way to, you know, homicides, serious violent felonies, worked at children's court, worked very hard to try to, you know, keep families together. And when you can't keep a family together, trying to figure out what the best pathway to permanency is for a family, whether termination of parental rights and adoption is the way to go, whether a guardianship replacing a child with a family member is the way to go. You know, really hard calls that you make in a courtroom every day. And, you know, Mark, I know you're a trial lawyer and an exceptionally good trial lawyer. You know what it's like when you are dealing with, you know, you're dealing with a jury. You know, I've dealt with juries that are scared to walk to their cars after they've rendered, you know, a guilty verdict. I've seen people on the stand that are just ravaged and shredded by having to relive something that happened to them. I've seen defendants who want a second chance. I've seen their families. You know, you just see so much of our humanity when you are in those courts all day, every day.
And folks, the opponent has never prosecuted a single case and has not sentenced anyone. So who do you want to trust when it comes to reviewing those decisions on appeal? Someone with Judge Janet Protasiewicz's depth, experience, insight, or someone that is clueless and just running a lot of rhetoric? And I've seen some of those nasty ads. You know what? How does that issue impact people across the state? You know, you've been out there pounding the doors.
Well, I think that, you know, the community safety issue impacts everybody across the, you know, across every political spectrum. But I think the misleading ads, you know, really bother people. You know, somebody brought to an event in Eau Claire a pile of these ads that he received. And he said, kind of tongue-in-cheek to me, it's one of these flyers, had three particular cases on it. I assume you've sentenced more than three people in your entire career. And I said, I have. I think people understand that the ads are worse than misleading, quite frankly. I think people understand that. And, you know, we're working hard to respond in kind, you know, with radio ads that tell the real story, with television that tells the real story.
You mentioned that you thought people were really concerned on whether you could be, or, you know, they're looking for a justice that can be fair and impartial, or and a justice that cares about the voter. How is that playing out?
It's playing out really well. I mean, I'm telling you that I'm going all over the state, and we have packed venues wherever we go. You know, I'm in Eau Claire right now. I'm at a brewery. We had an event at the third floor. And the host said to me, you know, we expected 60 or 70 people. We had well over 100. We had an event in Milwaukee shortly before the primary, a fundraiser, and there is no candidate who ever wants to turn people away at a fundraiser, ever. And we had to turn people away because there wasn't room in a venue that was very large and there wasn't parking. And one of my campaign people was on a microphone saying, this event is oversubscribed. It's oversubscribed. So if you've had enough time here, you can leave so we can let some other people in. I mean, you don't see anything like that. And I would say that I think people are so deeply concerned about the issues. People are so deeply concerned about the state of the Supreme Court that we're having, you know, such enthusiastic groups of people wherever we go. You know, we were in Hudson a few weeks ago, and we were in Ashland, and we were in Superior. And, you know, I think I've been saying to people, I've been very, very careful to make sure people know we're not a Milwaukee County, Dane County race. This is a statewide race, and so we're going all over the state. I tell people today, I said, I used to think the drive from Milwaukee to Eau Claire was kind of long. Now I don't think it's long anymore. I do it enough. It's not a long ride. Get in the car and we just go. And, you know, the opportunity to meet so many interesting people and see the state has truly, truly been the honor of a lifetime. But wherever we go, any corner of the state, people are so deeply concerned about the issues.
One of the issues you mentioned was this notion of maps and fair maps. And, you know, I think sometimes people forget that there was a federal court that had ruled that the maps in Wisconsin were actually unconstitutional, that it was so rigged and they were so unfair that it was unconstitutional. And then, as we all know, the U.S. Supreme Court and Justice Roberts punted on the issue and said, hey, it's not unconstitutional under the federal constitution. We're going to let states decide. And we're going to spend more time on this on the other side of the break. But just before we get there, this idea of the maps and being unfair, what are you hearing from people on that issue around the state?
I'm hearing from people about it virtually every day. And it's interesting because people are kind of pragmatic. They'll say to me, you know what, we get it. The party in power is probably going to have maps that are a little more fair than the other party. But they say this kind of extreme gerrymandering, I mean, like, it is literally off the charts what is going on in the state of Wisconsin. Literally off the charts. And, you know, we're the poster child for how to draw the most extreme maps, you know, really kind of known in our history. Duke University, I think, even did articles about it.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Judge Janet Protasiewicz. We are talking about the big election happening on April 4th. We'll be back with more with Judge Janet on the other side of the break.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Badgers men's basketball team continues postseason play.
You can hear the action when Wisconsin takes on North Texas in the semifinal round of the National Invitational Tournament Tuesday night at 6.
Listen on these local Civic Media Network radio stations.
WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. Dial up WRCE 1450 AM or 107.7 FM in Richland Center. Or WLAK 1260 AM in Amory. Find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and everywhere on the Civic Media app.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
37 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Folks, we are back here at your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. It is a beautiful spring night here in Waukesha, and I am delighted to let you all know that Judge Janet Protasiewicz, a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, is with us here. She is busy, busy, busy. She's in Eau Claire right now, just got done meeting with people, and she was kind enough to share some time with us tonight. So we were talking about maps and fairness and this idea that, you know, in touch base at the federal court had held our maps unconstitutional. There has been some criticisms, however, of you when you're talking about your value about fairness in the maps. How does that play out, and how do you address that question?
So what I like to tell people is that I think it's important that the electorate knows what the values are of the candidate that they're going to be electing to such a high office. Everybody has values. So why hide behind your values? Let's let people know what our values are. And I've been very clear that in regard to our maps, I've gone so far as to say our maps are rigged. I've been telling people, you know, we deserve, the people of this state deserve to have fair maps and deserve to live in a state where their vote actually counts. And I'll contrast that to my opponent. You know, for years, he has been a proponent of the gerrymandering and unfair maps. And Mark, I know you know the history better than probably most people, given, you know, the work that you do. But we take a look at what was called Act 43, you know, more than a decade ago, which really started us down the road to these extraordinarily gerrymandered maps. And my opponent was one of the people who was advising the Republican Party about those maps and about how to have such gerrymandered maps. And then we fast forward to 2020. Our maps are even more gerrymandered. And then we fast forward to, you know, our presidential election of 2020. And I think absolutely everybody knows that we had a fair, free election in the state of Wisconsin, and that the state of Wisconsin's electoral votes validly went to President Biden. I don't think it can be underscored enough that my opponent was actually advising the Republican Party about the fake elector scheme, that was taking place in the state of Wisconsin. You know, this isn't somebody who cares about our democracy. I tell people, this isn't somebody who's a conservative. This is an extremist. He is a dangerous, extremist.
Thank you for emphasizing that point. And let me just say this once more. A federal court and a Republican judge and a Democratic appointed judge found our maps unconstitutional and absolutely rigged. And that your opponent backs that, supports that, and somehow thinks that's fair is just, it is unbelievable.
It is truly unbelievable.
Yeah, let's touch on another point that I think he's really extremist on. We have this 1849 law on abortions in place, a law that was passed when virtually, right, only men voted on it. No women were even at the table, much less to talk about it. And here we are post Roe, you know, I mean, 50-year-old women have only known that they've had their right, a constitutional right at the federal level, for the reproductive decisions. How is that issue playing out around the state? What are you seeing on that?
Well, people are very concerned, and they're concerned for a number of reasons. And let me be clear. First of all, my value is that women should have a right to make their own reproductive health care decisions, period. That being said, you know, I know and I can tell you with 100% certainty, not a doubt in my mind, that if my opponent is elected, that 1849 ban is going to stay on the books. That's a really serious issue for women and families confronting whether or not they need to make a reproductive health care decision. But it's more than just that. You know, I've had an event with a number of OBGYNs, and they said to me, we don't know how much longer we want to practice medicine in the state of Wisconsin. And nurses tell me, we don't know how much longer we want to be practicing in the state of Wisconsin. And one person actually said to me, I think it's going to hurt us across the board and hurt us with our businesses as well. One young family told me they're from Wisconsin. They're planning to move back to Wisconsin, but they're not doing that as long as that 1849 law is on the books. They said, we want to start a family. And if we have a healthcare decision that we need to make, we want to be able to make that decision. So, you know, I think we have to look at not just the, you know, issue that a woman has about making her own reproductive health care choices, but we have to look at physician and nurse attrition. We have to look at whether or not this is going to thwart our state's growth, you know, across the board.
You know, the emphasis of this show is always moving Wisconsin forward, right? That's our motto. We want to
go. It's a good motto.
Yeah, we want to go forward. How can we go forward if we can't even get young people to come to the state because they're scared virtually to death that they may not have the right choice of their own doctor and doctors fleeing the states? 10 seconds. What's your goodbye to voters?
Please vote by April 4th. It is critical. Everything you care about is on the line. Please make sure you vote.
And let me add one thing. Folks, please vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. April 4th, 2023. Your life, your future depends on it. Thank you, Judge Janet. Happy trails.
Thank you, Mark. Delighted.
The Shaw 101. From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. and is the best way to protect that legacy.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemiss.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy. So we don't miss out on what matters, like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors.
We bleed green and gold. And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 22. Northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 43. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows around 18. Tomorrow night, chance of snow. About an inch of snow tomorrow night with another inch Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
It's me, Judge Frederick Stramp, judge here in Waukesha County, running to retain his job. Welcome, Judge Stramp.
Thank you, Mark. I'm happy to be here.
You know, I have to say this. I was a fellow member, I think, in ABOTA, which is the American Board of Trial Advocates.
Oh, I still.
And you still are.
I still am, yes.
Okay, and I want to say this because it's... I met Judge Stramp before he was a judge, when he did primarily defense work. And we are an organization. I'm also privileged and honored to be a member of the American Board of Trial Advocates. But it's a group of lawyers from around the state made up of plaintiff's lawyers and civil defense lawyers to really talk about what's the best way to try a case and how do you really have fairness in the courtroom. And when my friend and associate was appointed to the bench here in Waukesha, I said, wow, Waukesha is so lucky to have such a person for a judge. So why did you want to become a judge?
I wanted to come back and serve my community. As you know, Mark, when I was young, I was in the military, spent the first 4 years of my adult life as an infantry officer, and had always missed that feeling of service and working for the greater good. And after 25 years doing civil litigation, I felt like I'd developed the skills I needed and the familiarity with how a courtroom's supposed to operate that I could give back to the community by asking to be a judge in this community. And I've been pleased with it every day that I've been feeling that satisfaction of serving the community.
Now, you have, in your capacity, been you're assigned criminal cases primarily yes. right now, right?
Yes.
So what have you learned in terms of your experience as a judge being involved in the trials of criminal cases?
Yes. What I've learned is that there's a lot more going on and a lot more important decisions being made to protect our community than just the sentencing or even the trial of criminal defendants. Obviously, that's a very important thing. That's a big thing that has a significant effect. But every day, I'm also doing things like reviewing motions relating to bail and whether or not the conditions of bail should be altered, or evaluating motions on evidence of was a search properly conducted, should there have been a different procedure taken, or was there probable cause? And all of those decisions, you know, have significant effects on where the cases go, on the lives of the defendants, but also on the lives of the victims, the victims' families, and then the families of the defendants. So it's been enlightening to me to see how all-encompassing those decisions are and how important they are to a large swath of our community.
Now, and just before we get more into why you want to stay as a judge, you know, you had mentioned you were in the service in the Army, but you went to West Point.
I did, yes.
So this is a big deal, right? Not everybody gets to West Point. So how did that shape you as a person and your notion of service?
I would say two big ways that it molded me, for lack of a better term. The number one is just it exposed me to such a wide variety of people from around our country and really high quality people. And everyone had different backgrounds coming from, you know, all around the country. But it was enlightening and invigorating to see everyone motivated by similar principles and similar goals. And that was the second thing is, you know, a huge part of West Point, you know, I got the classical education with, you know, everything from electrical engineering to philosophy. But even more so than that is there's a moral and an ethical vision on everything you do. You know, the motto of West Point is a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those who do. And that is just a life motto. That's the mission of the military academy, is to develop leaders of character for a lifetime of service to the country. And that's what I'm trying to do as a judge, is just continue that lifetime of service.
You know, you were also involved, just so folks know, and, you know, check out Judge Stramp's webpage, but you were involved in high school football, right? As a ref.
Yes.
I mean, you're licensed, right, with the WIAA?
Ever since law school, I've been licensed as a football official. I have been to almost every high school in Waukesha County and most of the high schools in southeastern Wisconsin. Every Friday night in the fall, I'm out there. Just enjoy being out with the students. The student athletes are just, it's just good to see the, everyone at their best doing that type of activity. You know, I love football. It was a big part of my childhood growing up, my big part of my high school experience, and having the opportunity to continue to be part of that and to give students now the same opportunities that I had is just something I enjoy. And it, you know, just develops those same types of skills and trying to communicate those same types of things to the students of, you know, work hard and follow the rules and things will pay off for you.
I'll just throw this in too. I noticed that you got a photo of you out there deer hunting. So yeah, I deer hunt up in Washburn County. So where do you hunt?
I grew up in Wausau and I hunt up in Lincoln County. My dad owns 80 acres up there that we've been hunting on since I was in the Army. He got the land while I was in the Army, so we've been up there for 25 years.
I had to throw that in there with the kids and coaching. You know, you're as the officiant, not coaching, as the referee. As the referee, you know, you're the neutral decider, right? What's your judicial philosophy when it comes to this? Because, you know, your opponent is a politician and you're not a politician. Okay.
Right.
So, we're talking about a very, very important race here, right here in Waukesha on the bench. And why should the listeners vote for you as opposed to the politician?
Well, I can't say this enough, but I am not a politician. I'm a judge. And before that, I was a lawyer. And I'm committed to following the law and making sure that the law is applied evenly to everyone. Everyone gets treated fairly. Everyone gets treated the same way. And it's critical to our system. And one of the reasons why I wanted to run for, why I'm running for judge and why I sought this position is, you know, the rule of law only works if we've got impartial judges who are enforcing the laws evenly for everyone without any preconceived agenda, without any goals or any plan to have one outcome or the other. You know, that's exactly what I do when I'm officiating football. The rules are there. I apply them evenly. I treat everyone with respect in the courtroom. And that's why I do this. And that's why people should want me to be their judge, because I don't have any preconceived agenda. I know how courtrooms work. And I'm just there to enforce the law and make sure that the process is fair for everyone.
You know, in the day-to-day campaign, what are you hearing from people on the race? You know, what are they saying? What are they saying to Judge Stramp?
What people are saying to me is that they're very concerned about circuit courts becoming political. I know you just talked to Judge Protasiewicz about the Supreme Court race, and that's a court that has to deal with these types of major issues. There, it's a policy court. But no one who I'm talking to wants the Waukesha County Circuit Court to be a policy court. They want it to be a court that is run efficiently, that's run fairly, and that's following the law in order to protect the community and make sure that everyone knows that there's not a preconceived agenda. There's just an effort to enforce the law fairly and protect the community.
So in your capacity as a judge, how do you play that out? What's your philosophy of judging?
So my philosophy for judging is just to use the same things that I always liked when I was a lawyer. Like I am a lawyer's judge. And by that, what I mean is I'm not trying to railroad people or to get things done for some thing that I want, whether it's a procedural thing or just a timing thing or something. I want to give all the lawyers a chance to present their case, to spell out the law. My role is to get that information, if I have to, then do whatever research or analysis I need to do and then come out and make a decision based on what the law requires. So I'm not trying to replace the lawyers. I'm trying to just give the lawyers an opportunity. You know, it's an adversary system. So as you and I both know, so you got to give both sides a chance to express their opinions, get their views heard, and then I sort through that and do what the facts and the law require.
And your capacity, have you had the opportunity now to instruct juries?
I have. I've had a couple jury trials already.
And tell me, how has that experience been different?
It has been a little, I would say, not as different as I thought it would be. Other than it's a lot easier to be the judge as opposed to the lawyer, where all you have to do is listen to the questions as opposed to ask them. But as far as instructing jurors, everything about my experience as a lawyer has made that an easier transition. Like, I can't imagine someone trying to instruct a jury or run a jury trial without having been a lawyer litigating jury trials. You know, my first trial was allegations of possession of child pornography. So the biggest task was just selecting a juror. I mean, that topic brings up, as you know, lots of sensitive issues a lot of different ways. So had to be very sensitive and be very careful to make sure that we got a fair jury without inundating the jurors or, you know, causing emotional problems or bringing up things from them that would be insensitive or just improper. So everything I've done as a lawyer gave me the skills to do that, because I've had to ask difficult questions to juries and to sort out people who might have biases or be improper, you know, not be a good fit to be a juror in that case. And so because I have that experience, I've been able to instruct juries as a lawyer or as a judge now.
And let me just throw this out here. In terms of sentencing, have you been involved in sentencing now?
I am sentencing people almost, I would say, multiple times a day.
So I want to come back on the other side of the break and get into just in terms of sentencing, what does that mean? What's involved? What are the issues? But a question here, just before the break, and folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. I'm here with Judge Frederick Stramp, who is running for the Waukesha County Circuit Court position April 4th. Very crucial. Just briefly, what is, you think, the key issue coming up for the next 4 years as a judge?
It's going to be the bail amendment and just continuing to keep the community safe and make sure the law is applied evenly to everyone.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We will be back after the break with more from Judge Frederick Stramp on justice, fair justice.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus. Thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Cast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest around 5 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Highs around 44. Tomorrow night, lows around 26. Chance of snow Wednesday. Chance for scattered showers on Thursday. A dusting of snow Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. And folks, on this beautiful spring night, 1 week away from Election Day, I am have the honor and privilege of having Judge Frederick Stramp on with me tonight. He is the current judge here in Waukesha County, running to retain his seat. And he has, his opponent is a politician. And what's a key issue that you see is really different between you and your opponent?
I think the biggest difference is just experience. Like my opponent went into the legislature right out of law school. Literally, he graduated in May and got elected in November. He has never practiced law full-time for any significant period of time. So because of that, if you look at his court records, he's only got one case. As far as I can tell, there's no jury trials that he's ever conducted. And I, you know, we were talking before about the first jury trial that I've conducted as a judge. Now, I've tried dozens of trials in my career as a lawyer. I at least know generally who goes first and where people sit and what table they go to. And I know the rules of evidence and I've used the rules of evidence. And there's just a million things in a trial that you can't learn by trying to preside over it. It just defies logic. And that's the biggest difference is I know how to try a case. I know how to run a courtroom. And my opponent doesn't know either one of those things.
You know, I know you didn't want to get into the politics of this, but I've noticed that your opponent has some pretty extreme conservative backers, has been out there and a believer in the election deniers. How is that playing out on the streets door to door?
Well, you know, as I talk to people and they ask me about my opponent, you've just hit on the second thing I say. First off, I say, you know, experience matters in this job. And the second thing I say is it defies logic that a person who authored a letter to Vice President Pence on January 5th saying that there was widespread fraud in Wisconsin, hundreds of thousands of votes were improperly counted, and that the election results should not be tabulated, after the courts in Wisconsin had already addressed that issue and determined that that's not true. So someone who is writing a letter supporting the argument that ends up with an insurrection is just defying the law, the rule of law, now wants to be a judge. And I just can't understand that dichotomy. And when I talk to people about it, no one else can understand that either. Why someone who disrespects the rule of law now wants to be a judge or thinks they're qualified to be a judge.
Yeah, let me, as a lawyer and an officer of the court, you know, when you're out there, you have to speak the truth, right? And we had a federal judge, Judge Ludwig, you know, appointed by President Trump, when faced with the case on the election and saying, you know, take it away from the people, said, how can you do that, right? I mean, you know, I may have been appointed by the president, but the people voted in Wisconsin, and they voted clearly for President Biden, and, you know, Trump lost in 2020. Right. He won in 2016, but he lost in 2020. And, you know, the federal judge said, look, this is it. You got to be fair. How is it that your opponent is still pushing that?
Yeah, I don't know how much he's
continuing
pushing. I mean, he's a politician, so he's certainly willing to make the arguments that he thinks works at one particular time. But everyone needs to be judged by the record. And, you know, there's no doubt that at a time when our country needed leaders to stand up and do the right thing and enforce the rule of law, he did just the opposite. And in my mind, as someone who's took their first oath to support and defend the Constitution at age 18 on the plane in West Point, that is unforgivable. If you take an oath to support and defend the Constitution, that is where your loyalty is. And you can't make that a sometimes choice based on political expediency.
I think that is going to be crucial, and thank you for that. I mean, Waukesha is a very, very important county in Wisconsin. You know, it continues to grow. It is a very purple county where we have a great diversity of politics.
Yeah.
And at the center of it, the courthouse, there has to be stability and a confirmation that we are going to follow the Constitution. So I very much appreciate that.
And I firmly believe that the vast majority of the residents of Waukesha County, whatever political way they might lean, want someone who's a judge who's going to enforce the Constitution, follow the rule of law, and do the right thing based on what the law requires, not make some decision based on political expediency.
Right. Or you're not the ref for a political party, right?
Exactly.
Right. I mean, I think people all over the country are getting to that point. You know, it's enough is enough. We have a minute left. What do you want to say to the listeners? And why should these listeners vote for Judge Frederick Stramp?
Because as a circuit court judge, I'm dealing with important issues affecting the lives of our community and the safety of our community. And experience matters. This is not a job for beginners. This is not a job that you learn as you're doing it. It's a job that you need to be prepared for. I'm the only candidate in this election who is a judge. I'm the only candidate who's qualified to be a judge. And because of that, I'm asking the voters of Waukesha County to vote for me on April 4th, Judge Fred Stramp.
Let me sort of emphasize a point. You know, when I, my practice, I'm a plaintiff's lawyer, so I would always see Fred on the other side. And, you know, part of the beauty, and I don't know if a lot of people really understand this, but to have justice happen, you have to have mutual respect. And I've had profound mutual respect for now Judge Frederick Stramp, Fred Stramp. April 4th, 2023, vote for Judge Fred Stramp. Thank you much. We will see you next Monday, the night before the election. In the meantime, make sure you register, make sure you vote, and I'll move.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll in showers, and pull down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild
WFHR, lives. Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown.